I don't want to get off the track, but I get excited when I even start thinking of it. Verse 6 says, they love the uppermost rooms. Minister, come here, sit at the head table, because you're such an important man of God. The chief seats in the synagogues. Oh, yes, we've got a couple thrones here. Here's the pulpit, and back here we have the thrones where the elders shall sit. I want to sit up there someday. I want to be up there reading the announcements. Jimmy's having a birthday, and Gladys is celebrating her 40th anniversary. Blah, blah. The greetings in the market. Oh, there's the minister. Hello, Reverend. Hello, Father. They like to be called him Rabbi, Rabbi, which means my master or my teacher. Whether you be a rabbi, and it applies to them too, of course. Still applies. Or whether you be a preacher, a minister, reverend, there's always a special treatment. I always abhor it. Because I sometimes when people know that I'm a Bible teacher and stuff, they put on a new face for you. They put on a certain kind of act. I always appreciate people who act the same around me as they do around other people. I think a lot of people who act in some sort of servant capacity, whether it be for good or ill, find themselves in that position where they're trying to make people feel normal around them without putting on airs and acts, as if I'm so holy that I should say the F word in front of him. I better not. Oh, sorry. Like, my ears are too sensitive. God knows I've had such a history with foul language. It's not something that's entirely easy to exercise. But with God's help, this we will do. It doesn't harm me if you want to say F this, F that. I always appreciate people who just are themselves. They know I'm into the Bible. But the funny thing is, usually people say, well, God forgives us. I don't think that's funny. I don't think it's funny. I take sin seriously in myself. And if other people take it lightly, I don't want to be a... I got to go around telling people what to do. Besides, I've got to take care of what's in my eye first. When I feel the righteousness is complete in me, then maybe I will start trying to make other people right. But until that day, until Christ has made me completely right, I'm going to just try to keep, because until I can see clearly, I can't do it for other people. And I'd just be a fool. You got to be able to see clearly to get out what's in the eyes of others. Why is what is in my eye likened to a beam and what is in others likened to a speck? It's not that my sin is greater or less equivalent from God's perspective, but from my own perspective, as someone who's trying to help someone, my speck is like a beam because I'm trying to help another. Because from my perspective, it inhibits the work I'm trying to do, because the work I'm trying to do requires that I should see clearly. And if I don't see clearly, I can't do the work. If we don't see clearly, we can't do the work. And so for others who are maybe ignorant of their speck, or what speck? I hardly even noticed it. I don't even care about it. It doesn't matter to me. And we come along and say, oh, it's so important. Let me get it out. If it's so important, then get it out of your own eye first. I want to help you homosexuals. I want to help you guys. I want to help you overcome your sins. They haven't overcome their own sins. Well, some things are more important than others. Exactly. It's important for the one who's trying to help someone else that their eye be clear. You got to see clearly before you can even attempt such a thing. Let's say you're about to have eye surgery. Do you want your eye surgeon to have an eye problem? Whose eye problem is more important? Where's the greater magnitude? It can be the same size particle in each eye, but for the one who's trying to be the healer, it is magnified because the danger is greater of him doing harm. Ow! You poked me! Get out of here! Trying to clear out my eye. When Jesus says, don't take to yourself titles. Don't take to yourself, master. Oh, master. What it means is, don't give someone this title like, don't call me by my name. Call me master. Master. Because I'm looking to them as a spiritual master. Oh, teacher, teacher, teacher. It's appropriate for children to call their teachers teachers. It's appropriate for children to call adults mister. But it is not appropriate for brethren to call each other master, teacher. It was very kind. Oh, good master, they would come to him. Oh, we know that you are a teacher from God, and blah, 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 teacher, teacher. And then the other one, father. Do I need to mention the Catholic Church here? Do I even really have to mention it? You know, Father so-and-so, blah, blah, Father, Father, Father. And they've even acknowledged that they do this in spite of the scripture. Then what about your real father? Should you call your father, Father? Of course you should. My dad? Oh, I shouldn't call him Father either. No. What it means is that any person who isn't legitimately, literally your father. Because what it is when you're calling someone else your father? Oh, Father, there's one Father. All ye are brethren. But let it suffice to say, it is okay to call someone your father who is your natural father. Or even an adopted father. If they played the role of father as you grew up, it's nothing inappropriate. But it is when you call a man of God, Father. Oh, you are my father. As a title. Now, you could even say, he was like a father to me. Or you could say, he was my father in the faith. You can affirm their role, but it is not to be used as some sort of title over someone. So use all these things with wisdom. You know, Jesus Christ gave things to us in a spirit. Now, they came to us in letters. But by the Spirit of God, we have to take the letters off the page and ingest it into ourselves. Ingest all his doctrine and understand a spirit. The spirit of what is being said. Over what the letter was saying. You know, because if you take it by the letter, you should never call your father. Children should not be taught to call their fathers dad, father, or any equivalent term. They should call them by their first name. You know, no one should ever call anyone Mr. because that's the same as master. You know, we aren't each other's slaves and servants. No, it's just a title of respect. It's okay when it's a father. It's okay when it's a Mr. But when it's a man of God, it's not appropriate for men of God to call each other by exalted title. I don't need to be called Teacher Paul. People love to take to themselves titles. And you know what? In the Christian church, it ought to be that whoever is greatest becomes the greatest servant. They serve the most. That is the greatest one. And if you try to exalt yourself, you're going to be brought low. God is going to bring you down. Those who exalt themselves, those who are sitting in Moses' seat, are going to be brought down. They're going to be cast down. And the humble, they are the ones who are going to be exalted. That is the message of Christ from the beginning of his ministry to the end. The meek shall inherit the earth. Happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What about the proud in spirit? What about the aggressive, the violent? They try to take the kingdom, but they shall not have it. It will be for the meek. It will be for the humble. Moving on to the next section, the woes. Verse 13. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering in to go in. The scribes and Pharisees were shutting up the kingdom of heaven.